Well, you'll find my text in Psalm 103 and verse 2. Psalm 103 and verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Dear congregation, there are times when we need to sit still and talk to ourselves about what we should be doing. Others may come to us and tell us rightly what we should be doing, but we ourselves need to do likewise. We have an example of this, and we considered this in Holywell last Lord's Day morning in Psalm 42 verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. You see there the psalmist, he was reasoning with himself and he gently rebuked himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Now, there are times when we know we can be found saying it to ourselves. We need to speak to ourselves. Well, we have that this morning before us in our text. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We might go to someone else and tell them to bless the Lord. Well, we need to be doing it ourselves first. For it gives us greater weight, doesn't it, when we go to others and we exhort them lovingly to bless the Lord. We'll hear our text this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And as we come to these words this morning, I'd like us to consider this theme this morning. Let us not forget. Let us not forget. First of all, I'd like us to consider from the text stirring up. Secondly, God's benefits. And then thirdly, in closing, blessing God. Stirring up, God's benefits, and blessing God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And we see the psalmist here stirring himself up to bless the Lord. As the Reverend John Brown of Haddington mentions, he earnestly stirs himself up. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. At times we do forget. We forget to thank God for all his benefits. How we need to stir ourselves up, as we see here in the text. It may be we're so busy and we do not stop where we ought to be stopping. It may be we're struggling mentally at times and it's hard. We may have low thoughts or anxious thoughts. And yes, the Lord sees the desire of our heart, but we're struggling. Or it may be we grow cold in our lives as believers. It's not what we want, is it? We don't enjoy the winter time particularly, do we? If we enjoy the warmth, but we don't enjoy that winter time in the soul. But it comes, doesn't it? And we find ourselves growing cold and we forget, don't we? Yet here is the exhortation of the psalmist to his own soul. Oh, my soul, forget not all his benefits. He seeks to stir himself up and oh, to stir ourselves up. When we feel the coldness coming within. When we're so busy in life to stir ourselves up to stop and to pause and to bless the Lord. Now it appears, doesn't it, very plainly that the psalmist had just recently forgotten the benefits of the Lord and had not praised God as he ought. And if we're honest, we do forget. Isn't it a blessing to see here the honesty of the psalmist? We see that, don't we? We see the honesty of the psalmist, and it's plain that he had been forgetful. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You see, he begins with himself, and forget not all his benefits. He had been forgetful. We do get forgetful, don't we? We find it hard to focus at times. But sadly, sin, worldliness, coldness can all have an effect on dulling the mind. It's not what we want to happen, but it does happen, doesn't it? And we forget the benefits of the Lord. Forget not. It's happened to him just recently. What about me? What about you? Has there been a time just recently when we've forgotten the benefits of the Lord? We do get forgetful, don't we? But let us not forget. Here's the psalmist. He's stirring up himself to bless the Lord, to remember the benefits of the Lord. Here he is. He's speaking. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let us not be like those 9 lepers, who though they were blessed by the Lord, did not return to give thanks. How we need to remember. To remember the Lord and his benefits. Matthew Henry wrote, in order to our return of praises to God, there must be a grateful remembrance of the mercies we have received from him. And so we need to stop. We need to consider. We need to stir ourselves up to remember and bless God. Forget not all his benefits. He's speaking to himself first. How important that is. I must speak to myself first this morning. The psalmist helps me to do that. It's so important to speak to ourselves first. We know there are times when we forget. We know there are times when we could be blessing God, but we don't. How important it is to speak to ourselves first. You know, we want to be an encouragement week by week to others, don't we? To point them to Jesus, the wonderful friend of our soul. We want to be an encouragement to others, to help them to in the word, to be a comfort to them. We've known the comfort of the Lord, and that we might be a comfort to others, as we see in Corinthians. We want to be that encouragement, don't we? How important it is we begin with ourselves. Pray for help here. We know our own weakness. I begin with myself. I forget in my life as a believer. I don't want to forget. I should never forget. But at times I do. Things can come on top of me. Oh, to stir ourselves up and bless the Lord. Remember what the Lord has done. Oh, think on him. Just think on him now. Psalm 77. Such a helpful psalm, isn't it? Psalm 77, verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favourable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercy, Selah? And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years at the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. He's questioning the present. He's struggling at the present time. But in his struggles, what does he do? He remembers. He thinks about God's dealings in the past. And this helps him to rest in view of the present. God has not changed. He begins to remember. It's a blessing, isn't it, when we begin to remember. Maybe in a hard day, you've been struggling. Maybe in the evening, you sit down and you begin to think. And you're led to consider some verse of scripture, and you then suddenly begin to remember. It's a precious thing, isn't it? Or maybe cast down, struggling, but then you begin to remember. It's a precious thing, isn't it? You remember what the Lord has done for you. You remember the blessings Jesus brought about for you at the cross. You remember how the Lord has helped you and supported you. You begin to remember. You remember the Lord's dealings with you in affliction. You remember days of blessing. It's a blessing when we begin to remember happy days. Maybe our holidays. This week, children, you remember your holiday. It's gone quickly, hasn't it? But you remember your holiday. And you look forward to your next one. We remember times of laughter. Times when we've been shown great kindness, great love. It may be people have been unkind to you, but then you remember the love of some other Christian. How kind, how loving they were. Oh, it's a blessing, isn't it, when we start remembering and meditating on the blessings of the Lord. You remember Mary? She pondered those things in her heart. The shepherds, they went forth making known the things they had heard and seen, making known the gospel. But Mary, she pondered those things in her heart. It's a blessing when we begin to ponder and we remember the benefits of the Lord. We meditate. In Psalm 1 we read, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." His delight is there. Oh, when we find those delights in the Word, and our soul is lifted, and we begin to meditate, we ponder, we muse over the Word in our minds, we think about it. See that the psalmist, he did it day and night. He meditated on the Word of God. Such a time the mind can be lifted. You know what it is to have a heavy mind. The mind can be heavy. Remember our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane knew that heaviness. Well, the mind can be heavy. But thank God when it's lifted a little. And you begin to remember and meditate, and you stir yourself up to bless the Lord. Oh, to stir oneself up to remember, but then to bless the Lord. What do we read here in verse 2? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." He's stirring himself up. Oh, remember what the Lord has done. How he blesses you daily. Psalm 68 verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation sealeth." He daily does it. Oh, I would be more grateful for the daily load of benefits. He loadeth, to load, each day. Not a day passes when we haven't been loaded with his benefits. Spurgeon wrote, God's benefits are not few or light. They are loads. They come daily. He daily loadeth us up. Children, I remember on certain birthdays when I was smaller, at the end of the day, my mum would say to me, "Well, let's take the presents to your room." And she would load them up. They always used to seem to be a bit bigger in those days. It's not that I want bigger ones now, but they always used to seem a bit bigger in those days, perhaps a few more toys in those days. And she used to put them onto my arms, and I'd be loaded up when I went into my room. I remember I used to help my grandfather collect apples, and he used to put the apples into my arms. He lived in a place called Old Orchard, and there were many apples, but also the tomatoes. He used to get me to hold my arms out, and he would load them up, and I would have to take them into Granny. Well, the Lord loads us daily. Oh, to stir ourselves up now, to reflect upon them again. Oh, we are loaded daily with his benefits, oh, then daily, to stir ourselves up. But it doesn't always happen, does it? The psalmist had been forgetful. That's plain here, isn't it? Forget not, because he had been forgetful. But oh, let's remember the Lord and his benefits. Oh, he blesses us so much, I don't deserve the blessing. But oh, how he blesses me. Oh, I need to take my eyes off self more often. And I need to stir myself up and to bless the Lord. Now just see how often the psalmist sought to do it in Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul," verse 1, "and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul." He begins the psalm by talking to himself under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. "O my soul, and all that is within me." Such a heart work. to bless the Lord with all our heart and our mind and our soul, with the whole of our faculties. Bless his holy name. Then he says it again, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 1 of Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You see, he keeps telling himself. He knows he needs to, and so do I. He keeps telling himself, oh, keep telling yourself. Seek to stir yourself up again and again to bless the Lord. It's not easy at times. We struggle. One can struggle mentally. One can be burdened in the valley of affliction. But oh, to stir ourselves up like Paul and Silas, who were in the prison, to bless the Lord. Oh, keep telling yourself, day by day, week by week, have a talk to yourself. The Lord is worthy of blessing. So let's stir ourselves up. Let's not forget. Well, let's move on and consider secondly now God's benefits. And this is a vast subject. And we won't be able to exhaust it today, nor in the future, nor in eternity. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And right at the outset, we find ourselves beginning to think of one thing the Lord has done. And then we begin to think of something else, don't we? Another benefit. And it can have this effect. We can find ourselves thinking of a number of things. Well, that's what the psalmist does here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We think here of the word benefits, literally from the Hebrew, an act. That which is given, a benefit, the Lord gives. Go back to Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. We think of the benefit and he gives it. How gracious God is. As we think of the benefits he has bestowed in times past and the daily benefits he bestows on us as well. Now we have a number of the benefits listed here in the psalm. Just notice from verse 3. The benefits begin. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth thy diseases. There's forgiveness, healing, deliverance, crowning. Verse 4. Crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, we're so blessed. There's provision. Verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. There is a reviving and a strengthening like the eagles, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. We're told that the eagle in old age can be very weary, but then those are reviving, a strengthening at times. There can be frailty, but then a measure of revival. Oh, what mercy! And we see that in the psalm, don't we? It's full of mercy, the benefits of the Lord. Just come with me to verse 11. First, the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Oh, what a benefit is the great mercy of the Lord towards his people. He's a merciful God. He pardons sin, verse 12. He's a father to us. Those are precious words, aren't they? Like as a father pitieth his children. What a benefit. We have a heavenly Father who so pities us, he pities us today. A new week before you, you may have certain things you're concerned about. What a blessing, what a benefit to know that the heavenly Father pities you, dear child of God, at the beginning of the week. Oh, what pity, how he consoles us, how he comes alongside us. Oh, what mercy towards us. What a heavenly Father we have who is so good, so gracious, so compassionate towards us. Oh, think of him and the benefits that flow from his mercy, his compassion. Benefits to us then, through his gracious hand, through his merciful hand, and through Jesus Christ. Well, let's just pause and just open up a little. We haven't got time to look at this too much this morning, but let's just think of some of the benefits in a little more detail. Come with me to verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. What a blessing that is. What a benefit. Now notice how the verse goes on, who healeth all thy diseases. Now we just briefly note that, and then we'll come back to the forgiveness, and you'll see why in a moment. Now the Lord has healed his people of certain things. We can look back. We've known a recovery at times, haven't we? We've been helped in certain ways, but we attribute a recovery to the Lord. A healing in that way. We've got through certain medical things. Not everything, but certain things. And we can give praise to God. But we particularly think of a healing for the soul. And that's plain, isn't it? And we can think of forgiveness there as well. Turn with me to Isaiah 33, verse 24. When we think of healing, part of it is forgiveness. And it's so precious here how the Lord speaks through here to show us this. Isaiah 33, verse 24. And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. That's part of healing, isn't it? There's forgiveness. Oh, what a benefit. And it's underlined at the beginning of our verse. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Oh, what a comfort that is this morning. Now, forgiveness is the first part of justification. It's a vital doctrine, justification. What is justification? Well, the Westminster Shorter Catechism is helpful just to summarise the biblical doctrine. Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins, and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, and received by faith alone. Luther once said, the article on which the church stands or falls. Rome has got it wrong. N.T. Wright has got it wrong, and others have got it wrong. A clear understanding is vital. What is justification? It is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins, and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed or put to us, and received by faith alone. What's the first part then of justification? Well, it's here in our text. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. All. What a precious word is the word all. We can bless God for that one word. All thine iniquities. Not just some, but all of them. Some of the Lord's people struggle with doubt. And one can say, what about what I did yesterday? What about something I may do in the future? I know I will do in the future. We read here, all thine iniquities. God as a judge forgave all our sins. That's the first part of justification, isn't it? Who forgiveth all our thine iniquities. The guilt of sin is removed. One's sins are not charged to them now. Non-imputation. We're not answerable for them now. One is free from the obligation of punishment, and so we say, no condemnation. He forgiveth all thine iniquities, all pardoned. You're justified. We weren't made perfect. We need to seek fatherly forgiveness, but we're justified. We'll never come under that sentence of condemnation ever again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Why would we ever want to forget what the Lord has done for our soul? Oh, what our Saviour has done. He bore the punishment of all our sins, so that past, present, and future are all forgiven. As Fisher puts it, he secured the non-imputation of them. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He won't charge you. That is, God as a judge will not charge you. There's no condemnation. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We're justified. No condemnation. Saved. But as I said a moment ago, we're not perfect. And we need to seek now fatherly forgiveness. Yes, we're justified, but we're not perfect. There needs to be that work of sanctification. There needs to be that work of mortifying the deeds of the flesh. and we need to seek fatherly forgiveness. But when one humbles themselves and looks in that penitent way to the Lord for mercy, there will be forgiveness. One of the most precious psalms I found to be is Psalm 130, Lord from the depths. If thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, who shall stand? Not one of us could stand. But there is forgiveness with thee. And there is. And dear brothers and sisters, you consider how often your heavenly Father has forgiven your sins. Now let me just pause. We seek fatherly forgiveness, and we know that fatherly forgiveness. Let's leave it there. So you know, sometimes the devil can come and say, well, did you really say sorry? Will you respond, I did. And there's fatherly forgiveness for what I did wrong. All my sins. Oh, take comfort in this. You seek his face, there's fatherly forgiveness. God as a judge forgave all your sins. God as a heavenly Father keeps forgiving when we seek his face. Oh, what a heavenly Father. Don't forget it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What a benefit. Must move on more briefly. Time is passing. Just think of deliverance in verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? What a benefit. The broad way leadeth to destruction. But we're not on that broad way. Blessed be the name of God. If there's anyone listening on, you're not a Christian, you're on that broad way. Oh, that you would enter in at the straight gate and go down the narrow way. Yes, it's not a popular way, is it, with the world, but it's the right way, and it leads to life. How blessed we are to be on that way, to be delivered. When we think of destruction and eternity, oh, what mercy that we've been delivered. When we think of eternity and destruction, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? We particularly focus there on the spiritual, but we're also thankful for the preserving hand of the Lord, and that we will be kept till the appointed time. What a benefit, a wonderful benefit. We're saved. Saved from the wrath to come. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Now do you see it? Here's the psalmist. He's rejoicing in the gospel in this psalm, isn't he? Are we not rejoicing in the gospel? What benefits come through the gospel? Oh, there's been deliverance. Just think also in verse 4, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Grace we have been shown and mercy. And there's more grace coming on our head. And there's more mercy coming down on us. He crowns us with his favour and his mercy. What do we read? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. We need more grace. More grace comes. What a benefit. We need more mercy today. More mercy will come. Oh, the spiritual provision is there not through Jesus Christ. Verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. There was that hungering and that thirsting after righteousness, after Jesus. We read of in the Beatitudes how we were satisfied in Jesus. But then as believers, we long for more of him. Oh, how we are blessed through him. Blessed through the word. Oh, it's good to be remembering, isn't it? What a help it is, this wonderful benefit. How there comes a little reviving. And a little strengthening like the eagle. Turn me to verse 5. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Think again of the eagle. Can be weary, decay. But then we're told at times, for some of the eagles, there can be this reviving and this strengthening. Oh, bless God for that benefit. When you're weary. And then suddenly, you're helped to remember. You're helped to stir yourself up. You begin to think and you know a little reviving. Oh, that's what we long for, isn't it? As the people of God in these days. It's a barren land. Oh, for a little reviving, O Lord. But also we know that personal declension. At times we know that weariness and barrenness within. Oh, for a little reviving. Well, the benefit will come. There will be that strengthening. Turn with me to Isaiah 40, verse 31. We looked at this, did we not, at the beginning of the pandemic. And the word is true still, and always will be. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Do you feel weary? Well, take this verse now to your Heavenly Father. Lord, thou hast said this in thy word. I know thou wilt, fulfill thy promise. Renew the strength within. I may find it hard to walk, but I want to run spiritually, at least for a few hours. I want to know that little reviving. What a benefit it is, and it happens, doesn't it? We're able to focus a little. We know the lifting up of the mind. You know, the mind can be heavy, but in that little lifting up of the mind, oh, we can think of further benefits. Time has gone. Support. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And it's true, isn't it? How often we've given that text to someone else. Why do we give it? Because we proved it and we know it ourselves. He is that refuge. And underneath are his everlasting arms. When we don't sense it, they're still there. But bless God also when you do sense it. That underneath are the everlasting arms. This guidance, what a benefit that is. Psalm 48, verse 18. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. He's our God forever. He will be our guide. And there again we see Jesus. Did you realize that? In the Hebrew, it's to drive like a shepherd. The word which is translated from the Hebrew as guide. To drive like a shepherd. There's Jesus. He's our guide unto death. Oh, he guides us. What a benefit. We're not alone. Met a lady this morning. She's not a believer. She's mourning this morning. 10 weeks ago, her daughter died. Oh, I pray yet she would know the great friend and the guide. What a friend he is. What a guide. He guides us in life. At times we wonder which way the Lord guides us on. What a benefit. We have a shepherd and a guide. We have the word, Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp unto my feet shows me in the way of darkness when I'm in the darkness of affliction. And shows me in the daytime and leads me on. What on we could go. Oh, to stir ourselves up. To remember the benefits of the Lord. How blessed we have been. Time is gone. But just close now. Blessing God. I hope you've begun to do it already this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The Hebrew word barak, which is translated here as bless, means to kneel, an act of adoration, to thank, to praise, to bless. Here we see the child of God, humbly looking up to the Lord. Here we see the child of God at the feet of Jesus. It's the best place to be, isn't it? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, now. Oh, to be at his feet, at the feet of our triune God in a spiritual way, looking up in adoration. That's where I want to be more often. Because he deserves it, does he not? Oh, to humbly admire him and thank him, to look him and bless him, and to bless him from the heart. Turn with me in closing to verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. O my soul, That's the good place for it to begin, isn't it? In the heart. All that is within me. I want to put everything into it, because thou art worthy. Forgive me, Lord, at times the dullness. Lord, thou dost know the struggles I face as well, but thou dost see the desire. I want to bless thee from the very bottom of my heart. Thou hast blessed me so much. What can I render unto thee for all thy benefits? Psalm 116, verse 12. But I want to bless thee. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as I close, we've been delivered, we've been justified, we've seen that a little this morning. We're on our way to heaven. Let us be thankful for this wonderful benefit awaiting us and a glorious inheritance, wherein we will bless God all the time, and we will not ever forget. Our minds will never grow weary. No affliction will bring us down. So happy we will be on our knees, blessing God. That's the future. Oh, for a little more of heaven in my soul at this present time. Amen.